Good morning. We're going to open up the Senate Committee on Judiciary. We have a agenda with five bills. We're going to kind of bounce around a little bit on the order because I have one individual that has a meeting in the center of the building that seems to take priority. So we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3070.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, House Bill 3070 comes from the Committee on Judiciary. The bill has no fiscal impact, no revenue impact. What it does is provide technical modification to Oregon's earned discharge statute, which was a part of House Bill 3194 in the 2013 session. It clarifies the type of supervision that is eligible for a reduction, and it changes the terminology describing the reduction. It is ready to move.
All right. Good morning, Mike.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mike Schmidt, Executive Director of the Criminal Justice Commission. I appreciate you hearing this bill first to accommodate my schedule. As counsel said, this is a bill, it's a fix to what came out in 2013 in House Bill 3194. It came to the attention of the Public Safety Task Force, which is the statutory committee that was put together in that bill to oversee the implementation. And that task force has, they took chunks of the bill into subcommittees and worked it and made sure the implementation was going as was intended. In the supervision task force, chaired by Sheriff Jason Myers, it came out through Community Corrections and others that they weren't actually able to use the earned discharge provisions because of some of the way the statute was worded. And essentially what was happening is the wording from the Department of Corrections statutes that allows them to give and take back earned time credit was just ported over to the Community Corrections language for earned discharge. The problem with that was that Community Corrections doesn't have the capacity, the software in place to do that kind of giving and taking back of credits and all the additions. So it became this very burdensome manual thing that they would have to do to go in and figure all these out instead of what we believe the intent was of 3194, which was if you pay your restitution, if you've done your treatment, if you've done everything that the court and the probation officer have said you should do, and you've done that successfully, that you should be let off the second half of your probation. So it just wasn't the way it was written. It wasn't being able to be utilized. So this bill attempts to fix that. The other thing that it fixes is the way the term supervision was used. There were some courts that were a little bit unclear whether or not supervision meant the same thing as post-prison supervision or community supervision. And so we put some language in this that would just make very clear that this is probation or local control supervision. So there's no misunderstanding or controversy between if somebody gets the earned discharge credit, then are they placed on bench probation? So this just kind of clears up those two issues. Like I said, it comes out of the Public Safety Task Force, consensus bill, Community Corrections, DAs, Defense, OCDLA, everybody is supportive of this and should just be a pretty simple fix.
All righty. Questions? So, councils, is there a dash one for this bill? I'm just wondering.
Not this morning.
No. Well, that's disappointing.
Couldn't fit it into the relating to clause, unfortunately.
Oh, the relating clause didn't work for the dash one.
Mr. Chair, I did watch the hearing yesterday.
All right, any questions for Mike? All right, Mike, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wants to give testimony today on House Bill 3070? Not seeing anyone stepping up, standing up, or walking forward. Close the public hearing. Go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 3070.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3070 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3070 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered. Please show Ms. Senator Thatcher is excused from the vote. Okay. Chair will carry 3070. We'll close that work session, and we'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2423.
Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, House Bill 2423 comes to us from the Department of Corrections. The bill establishes that the Department of Corrections inmates serving life sentences for certain crimes are not eligible for earned time reduction in prison sentences. The bill eliminates certain earned time reductions available to inmates of Department of Corrections for completion of education credentials. There is no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. House Bill 2423 was unanimous in both the House Judiciary Committee and the House floor.
All right, thank you. Looking at our witness list, I have Bethany Smith. And whilst Bethany's coming forward, is there anyone else who will want to testify on House Bill 2423? Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Brzozinski and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I am Bethany Smith, Administrator of the Offender Information and Sentence Computation Unit for the Oregon Department of Corrections. I am here to testify in support of House Bill 2423 and answer any questions. House Bill 2423 would make life sentences for murder and aggravated murder ineligible for earned time sentence reduction. It would also remove the 60 days earned time for completion of education credentials. This concept stems from a 2013 Oregon Supreme Court decision in Engweiler versus the Oregon Department of Corrections that opened the door for DOC to calculate or to require DOC to calculate earned time against the prison term set by the Oregon Board of Parole and post-prison supervision on those life sentences for murder and aggravated murder. This goes against logic, as the parole board still maintains authority to determine when an adult in custody serving a life sentence should be released. By amending ORS 421121 to exclude murder and aggravated murder sentences from earned time consideration, the Board of Parole can continue to establish appropriate and meaningful prison terms without the confusion caused by the application of earned time toward those prison terms. This bill will also remove the 60 days earned time credit for completion of education, such as GED and high school diplomas. This came out of 2008 legislation that was aimed at providing an incentive for our adults in custody to get into education programs. There are three main issues with this. Adults in custody are already required to participate in required education, such as ABE and GED, in order to receive their regular earned time every 6 months. The 60 days earned time credit for education is redundant and in effect awards the adults in custody twice for completing the education program. Additionally, the only way to apply the 60 days earned time is to backfill against prior noncompliance. And the data does not support that this has resulted in an incentive, as education completions have actually decreased since this legislation, presumably because more incoming adults in custody have already completed their GED on the outside. If passed, this legislation would make it clear in statute that life sentences for murder and aggravated murder are not eligible for earned time sentence reduction, so the board's decisions on release are final. It would also remove the 60 days earned time for completion of education credentials. This will not impact eligible adults in custody from receiving the department's established 20% earned time credit, with 10% for behavior and 10% for work, programming, and education. For the reasons explained above, the department asks this committee to vote House Bill 2423 out of committee with a do pass recommendation. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, questions.
Chair. So what has actually happened on this? Do you have any examples of where the current policy has led to a bad outcome?
We've only had, we have members of the parole board behind me, so they may be better suited to answer that question. We've had at least one inmate, which is Mr. Engweiler, who brought the case, who specific to the murder, aggravated murder portion of this House bill, who, as a result of this case law that we're asking for the legislation to fix, did end up having a hearing sooner than was intended by the board and subsequently was eventually approved for release by them. As far as the other aspect of it, specific to the earned time for education credentials, we have seen some unfortunate outcomes more along the lines of motivation for inmates, where they learn how to manipulate the system. They figured out that it works to backfill against prior noncompliance. So they look at timing their GED tests in such a way where it is most beneficial to them rather than taking their GED tests when they're ready. They recognize that if I wait and take it in 3 months, then it will fix that disciplinary misconduct that I had previously. So there have been manipulations.
Well, it
most
seems
definitely.
Like education's working here. They're getting interesting.
Logic.
Does that answer your question?
Sort of. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't think anyone else was signaled that they wanted to come forward, so we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2423, and I think we're going to open up the work session on House Bill 2423.
Chairman, House Bill 2423 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2423 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Volunteers?
I'll get back on that horse.
All right. Senator Gelser will be our carrier on 2423. Thank you. And also, for all of the votes that we take today, unless Senator Thatcher gets here, we'll recognize her as being excused. With that closed, we'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2429.
Chair Brzozinski and members of the committee, House Bill 2429 comes to us from the governor for the Oregon State Police. The bill repeals a January 1, 2016 sunset on the Psychiatric Security Review Board's designation as the Oregon's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm Certified Gun Relief Authority. It authorizes the PSRB to conduct relief hearings for persons found guilty except insanity for misdemeanors involving violence. The bill declares an emergency and is effective on passage. There is no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. And like our last bill, this was unanimous out of both the House Judiciary Committee and the House floor.
Good morning. Julia?
Good morning. Chair Przanski, Vice Chair Cruz, members of the committee. I'm Julia Britton, Executive Director of the PSRB. House Bill 2429 is a housekeeping bill that would remove the sunset clause for the PSRB gun relief program and permanently assign restoration of firearms to the board for those with mental health adjudications. Firearm relief responsibilities for those who have an adjudicated mental health determination were transferred in 2009 to the board from the courts based on our board's mental health expertise on risk assessment, our existing hearings process, and our statutory mission statement, which mandates public safety in all of our decisions. The PSRB's relief program is ATF certified, as previously mentioned, which means that individuals who are granted relief simultaneously receive state gun relief as well as federal firearm restoration. There's no fiscal associated with this bill, as our current service level can accommodate these relief hearings, as demands for hearings have been very low. It's important to note that since 2009, Oregon State Police has received federal grant money to improve the state's process and submission of names to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, also known as NICS, in all categories of persons prohibited from purchasing a firearm. To date, Oregon State Police has uploaded more than 30,500 names of Oregonians who have been determined to be barred under state law from possessing a firearm due to a psychiatric finding by a judge. These were names that were not in the NICS prior to 2009. An ATF-certified relief program is a requirement in order for the Oregon State Police to receive these federal funds, as well as the state to receive other federal funds that help improve public safety programs. The board supports this legislative fix and hopes to have it permanently adopted. Does anybody have any questions for me?
No questions.
Senator Burdick. Mr. Chair. You said this process is not used very often. How often, like how many per year do you typically get?
Chair Przanski, Senator Burdick, we were up and running. It took about a year and a half to get the program up and running. We initially held 3 hearings in 2013, and we're pending 1 hearing now, so for a total of 4 hearings. We receive an average of one or two inquiries every month, but not everyone goes forward with a petition. We have multiple requirements before we'll hold a hearing. You need to have an independent forensic evaluation. You need to have a federal background check, criminal background check. And you need to gather all the records that were associated with your mental health determination. And I think for some individuals, that's a deterrence, and they end up not applying. So we've, to answer, in short, we've had three hearings with one hearing scheduled next month.
And, Mr. Chair, and what was the outcome of those? Did you grant, did you restore the firearms rights?
Chair Przanski, Senator Burdick, yes, we did. In three of those cases, we did.
Okay, final question, Mr. Chair. Do you have any process for monitoring the people that you grant relief to, or do they just disappear out of your system?
Chair Przanski, Senator Burdick, we do not have a way to track whether or not their name gets reentered into the system. I can say that the three petitioners, at the time of their hearing, the independent forensic evaluator, which is a psychologist or psychiatrist, in all three of those cases determined that the individuals did not have a mental illness and that it was the civil commitment was primarily due to substances. So, but currently there is no way to track those individuals.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to testify today on House Bill 2429? Not seeing anyone come forward, we'll close the public hearing, open a work session on House Bill 2429.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2429 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2429 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered. We'll close the work session. And Senator Thatcher, will you be a carrier on House Bill 2429?
Sure.
And we'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 3036.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, House Bill 3036 comes to this committee from the Judiciary Committee. There's no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement issued, but the bill does not need to be referred to Ways and Means. The bill is straightforward. It authorizes the parole board to require the appearance of either a district attorney or the attorney general at a hearing setting or resetting the release date of a person. The bill is ready to move.
All right, I'm looking at our witness registration. I see no one signed up for House Bill 3036, but I do see Jeff in the room, so I don't know if you were scheduled to be here to testify on this one or not.
You may. Thank you. I was Chair Przanski and members of the committee. My name is Jeff Howes. I'm the first assistant to the district attorney in Multnomah County. I was here sort of as a backup. I spoke with the chair of the parole board before this hearing started, and this bill was a product of a work group that was attended by members of the OCDLA, my office, Russ Ratto, and ODAA, parole board, and others. And they came to a consensus with this bill, and it serves a purpose of having the parole board better informed when they want to be at a hearing by inviting the prosecutor or a member of the prosecutor's office to the hearing, either by phone, in person, or electronically. So I didn't have anything really to add, and I appreciate the chair inviting me up just to say that, and I'm happy to answer any questions about it.
All right. So since we have a captive audience, our witness, Jeff, thank you for being there. Are there any questions? So the chair, just to put this on the record, Jeff, my understanding is that this was a work group that basically was looking at how to ensure that the state board on parole and post-prison supervision could have, let's say, the most information that they would need or should have prior to making a determination for a release date.
Chair Przanski, that's exactly correct.
And it's not mandatory in the sense of that the board can exercise this whenever they feel that they need more information. first of all?
Chair Brzezinski, that's exactly correct also.
I assume that they, from what you said, doesn't require a prosecuting attorney to actually show up. It's kind of like by invitation, and they're accommodating it to not only be in person, but also can be done by phone.
Chair Brzezinski, that's right also.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Jeff, thank you very much for putting that on the record.
It's my pleasure.
So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 3036. The chair is going to go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 3036. And Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3036 to the floor to be passed.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3036 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And does anyone want to volunteer for this, or should the chair do it?
You're just assigning things, so just go for it.
All right. So let's see what else we got here. I think, Senator Cruz, I'll ask you to carry this one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Had a feeling.
Well, you seem like you wanted to volunteer for that one. I got one other one that we've got one other likely suspect to take.
That's true.
All right. So with that, if I haven't, I'm going to go ahead and close the work session on House Bill 3036, open up a public hearing on our last scheduled one, House Bill 3168A.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, House Bill 3168A came to this committee from Representatives Bentz, Olson, and Post. It passed out of the House. It has revenue impact and a fiscal impact statement, but it does not need to be referred to any subsequent committees. The bill authorizes two things. It authorizes the court to waive fines if the offender is unable to pay those fines because it would interfere with their ability to pay for drug treatment. It also authorizes the court to modify court-appointed attorney fees if payment of those fees would interfere with the offender's ability to pay for drug treatment. There's one amendment before the committee, the Dash A2 amendment, which simply clarifies that those fee waivers would be eligible for both drug and alcohol treatment. The bill is ready to move.
So the amendment brings in alcohol treatment besides what the original bill had was drug treatment?
That's correct, Chair.
All right. So I am looking again at our witness registration list for House Bill 3168A, and surprisingly, there's no one signed up.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest we go into work session.
So let me ask if there's anyone who does want to testify to House Bill 3168A. No one's running to the front, so we will.
Could I just ask a question of counsel? How do they do that logistically in terms of making sure that the money saved is actually spent on the drug treatment?
So, Chair Przanski and Senator Burdick, I think it could happen in a host of ways. At the ultimate time of sentencing, the court could, have a colloquy with the defendant at that point, get some information about their financial circumstances. And usually at that time, there's already some information about their financial circumstances in the file because they have court-appointed counsel and there would be a record of that in the file. And so at that point, the court could make a determination that I'm gonna waive these financial obligations right now. What the bill also does, though, is if at that point the court's unable to determine, they could impose the fines and retain jurisdiction so that later, if the person came back with more specific evidence of, this is how much this treatment program costs, this is how much this is what my income looks right now, they could come back at a later point and also seek to have those fines waived that are unpaid. Anything that has been paid under the bill, the person could not get back, which was part of the original bill, which was worked out of the bill on the House side.
Yeah, I can also see where if an individual is brought up on a show cause for not being in compliance with their probation, that they would have the opportunity at that point for the court to inquire as to why, let's say they were supposed to be doing drug treatment and they weren't getting it done, and the person says, I just can't afford it, I don't have the money, or whatever it may be, sometimes the courts will give that incentive that says, well, we would like for you, or they have a limited amount of money. Instead of having you pay fines at this point, I want you to do this. And it doesn't mean that they're going to waive the fine cost at that time. I have judges that basically say, if you do these things, you can come back in front of me and we'll decide on what other obligations need to be complied with or ones that we may give you. So the, kind of that incentive. I know that in one court, they have a program that if they make 12 regular monthly payments and then and they don't miss one, they can come back to the court and say, I've made 12 monthly payments, and the judge at that point sometimes will take some of the other obligation off theirs. So it's that kind of that incentive-based carrot, you show, you perform, and then we'll take those in consideration. And I'm assuming this is probably more the way you would see this. I'd be surprised that a court would just outright say, we're going to just waive this and you need to go do this. It's going to probably be more of that incentive-based.
Yeah, good, because I, you know, if you're going to waive the fees, you need to make sure that they do. I'm more interested in them doing the drug treatment than
Ms. Chairman, I think this is putting that at a higher priority to make sure that they complete their program first, which should be the higher priority.
Yeah, and that's I've seen this on multiple times where some people would be placed on what some people refer to as a show cause docket. This is an internal docket of a court, and the court will have these people come back either on a monthly basis, every 3 months, just to track how they're doing. And I've been in some of those situations where I've had the opportunity to listen to the judge actually compliment somebody who comes in, gives their certificate of finishing a course or doing what they're supposed to do, and then they have that conversation. They said, because you got this done, I'm willing to waive $100 off or whatever it may be.
Good.
And I think, again, that's that structure and education of getting people to understand if they are able and willing to perform and meet the expectations of the court, they're willing to look at how they can be, let's say, rewarded for what they've done.
Right. Well, if we can get people off of drugs, it sounds like a good investment.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 3168A, and based on the discussions we've had, open up a work session on House Bill 3168A.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash A to amendment into House Bill 3168A.
All right, Senator Cruz moves the dash A to amendment into House Bill 3168A. Discussion. Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, of House Bill 3168A, as amended by the dash A2 amendment to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3168A, as amended by the A2 amendment to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Burdick, will you be our carry on this one, please?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair, with the usual proviso.
I got it. Thank you very much. So let's. I'm going to go ahead and close the work session on 3168A. And colleagues, this is Thursday. We are not scheduled to meet tomorrow. We will be meeting on Monday. We do need to kind of get back on our four-day schedule to make sure we don't get jammed up at the end.
Senator Burdick doesn't look happy about that. So.
Well, she's got a couple of Mondays off, you know. We can only go so far. And so I'm assuming, based on what I remember, is we're going to be starting at 8:30 on Monday. So thank you very much. With that, we're going to go ahead and adjourn for the day. So, I think I'm talking about